Everyone, and welcome to the TNT Hour on BBSRadio.com. My name is Don Nikoloff. I'll be your host for the next hour. This is Wednesday, the 9th of July, and lots of interesting news to talk about today. Leave it to the mainstream media. They're reporting that Iran fired a rocket. What they fired it at and which direction other than up, I don't know. It could just be the spin machine working, so that, the plans to invade Iran by Israel and the United States can go forward, and they could be using this as a ruse. Of course, let's not discount the fact that, Ahmadinejad is also a Freemason himself. In fact, I have plenty of photographs of him giving hand signals, and they're the Masonic M and also the Sign of Satan, which have been published on a number of websites, including in a book that I was reading a couple of days ago. And so we need to read between the lines and discern what's going on here. Are they trying to pull another 9/11 on us by claiming that Iran now is provoking Israel and we have to go to the defense of Israel so they can drop a few nukes? Nuclear war is not what the planet, the galaxy, or the universe needs at this time, and the madness just continues. It gets more insane as we go along. So we'll be talking about that as well as maybe a bit about the mind control going on in general with the mainstream media. And with that, we have a special guest with us. He was with us last week, and he was on Evident Footprints, my Monday through Friday show, which airs at 10 p.m. Pacific time. Bill Cormier, who has a website called Just Another coverup.com. And Bill is a reporter, researcher, and journalist like myself, and doesn't have a radio show yet, but someday he may. Anyway, he's coming on board with us, and we're going to talk about all this madness that's hitting the news right now. Bill, how are you today?
Oh, a little busier than usual. We had a little excitement around the house. Someone tried to break into our house last night while we were in it and asleep. So, but other than that, as far as the Iranian incident goes, I read the story on it this morning, and supposedly the head of the Iranian guard said they had fired a Shahed 3, which is one of their long range, and a couple of their shorter range missiles, in essence to demonstrate their ability to retaliate if the United States or Israel attacked them. Now, that was the spin that the story that I read. Mm-hmm. So it depends on where you read it and what you read, what story you actually get.
Yeah, so, believe it or not, I've been on the internet for a little bit less than an hour. My internet was totally dysfunctional today. which is par for the course, too, when these things are going on as well.
Yeah, mine was dysfunctional last night, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, they're making the rounds, evidently.
Yeah, it seems like they are.
Oh, so it's just sickening that this goes on. And you know, I went over to listen to Congress. They were making their little statements in the House of Representatives. And they're talking about how many emails they're getting about gas prices. And then some 600-mile trail that runs through forest land. I mean, we're on the brink of another war, and they're talking about email. It's maddening what is going on.
Well, you know, there's something that accompanied that those missile firings too. Is oil had dropped $5 a barrel, and of course, with the so-called firing of those missiles or whatever Iran did,
it's going to raise the price again.
Absolutely, oil went up immediately another $2 a barrel, and you have to ask yourself, you know, the Iranians are profiting from escalating oil prices. Dick Cheney and Bush, through all of their oil holdings, are profiting, as are all the oil giants. So every time somebody comes up with some more rhetoric, we pay more for gas. So, you know, they don't have to go to war to destroy us financially. They just have to talk about it and make it look like it's going to happen, whether it is or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a pretty interesting situation. We lose no matter which way they go.
Yeah, you and I know, have been through this. I talked about this again last night on my show, and it seems like it enters the picture. My mission is going to be to pick up the torch that Lindsey Williams left when he received his death threats a couple of weeks ago. That man was reporting about the non-energy crisis for, I would say, 35 years. And he's up there in his years, and he had the lives of his family and himself threatened. And so he said he was going to go back to ministering the gospel, and he wasn't going to promote this message anymore. Now, for the past 35 years, he's been telling us that their intentions are to raise gasoline prices to $5 a gallon by 2008. And they're darn close. It's over that in Canada. It's almost $6 a gallon on the average already.
Holy cow.
And it's under this ruse that we have a shortage of oil. There is absolutely no shortage of oil. All they have done is cap the wells. And I've been through this over and over and over again on many, many shows, and it bears repeating here. And so, you know, they're spinning that. They're spinning that in the news. Well, you know, oil prices are going to go up now because this is happening and this is happening. And they're being told what to say. This is a thing that doesn't sink into the average common human brain in the United States. The average American citizen thinks that because they're hearing this on the news, that it's true. Now, we don't even know for certain that a missile was fired. I mean, there are ways to find out. I have not been able to verify that separately and independently of the media. But there are ways for us to find that out. That's the story they're putting out there. Well, remember we had that kind of story back when they had the Valerie Plame outing, when she was outed as a CIA agent, and her husband, ex-ambassador Joe Wilson, was really angry and telling the administration how awful they were, and you had all these people dropping out of the administration, and what happened? Oil prices went up, and they started a war. They started a war under the pretext that Iraq was trying to get uranium and enriched uranium. So that whole thing was a ruse because she was about to cover up the fact or uncover the fact that it was a ruse, that was not the case, that they had not gone in there, they had not tried, and I'm saying Saddam Hussein or whoever, one of his agents, were not trying to procure any uranium. They had to have the bad guy so they could move in there, rob the bank, and take over the oil fields. Now, is Iraq pumping oil? Well, if they are, you know, who's monitoring it and who's gaining the windfall profits from that? Halliburton? Cheney? You know, so.
KBR, all of them.
Yeah. So, you know, this is this spin game, and the folks that are listening to the show are going to hear the news. They're going to hear a slant on the news, and we're going to uncover the propaganda as much as we are bringing forth any information that they're not putting out for us. But I can tell you right now, we're not hearing half the truth of what's going on. I guarantee.
Absolutely not. CNN is reporting that they fired 9 missiles in response to what it says are threats from Israel and the United States. And it was supposedly Iran's elite Revolutionary Guard that test filed the long and medium range missiles. And they said that these are their own war games that are supposedly in response to the war games that Israel conducted, where they did their bombing runs and used their, mid-air fueling and everything on a range that was almost identical to what it is to the Natchez reactors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we've got a little bit of brinkmanship going on from both sides here. As far as from my understanding, Ahmadinejad is just about as popular as George W. Bush is here in Iran. He is not a very popular president. By the same token, he is president in name only because he takes all of his orders from the Ayatollah. So, you know, and it's rather interesting if you look at the two and you put them side by side, and you look at their campaign promises before they were elected. Ahmadinejad promised the people more jobs, and he promised them, you know, better living conditions and prosperity and this and that and this. And he delivered on absolutely none of the above.
Well, he was one of the faction. He was part of the faction that took these hostages. Now, yes. looking back at that, and then he becomes the president after the Ayatollah. They remove the Shah, they put the Ayatollah Khomeini in there, and then they bring Ahmadinejad in. Now, do you think that all these guys weren't working for the CIA all the while these changes were taking place? Yes, that's all it is. Bottom line, this is just another CIA psyops.
We have created more of our own enemies in more places all over the world and armed them. That it's just astounding. And, you know, if they ever in unison turn all of the armaments back upon us that we've given them, for what we think that of, what is it, the, enemy is my enemy is my friend?
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily true. And I think we're beginning to find that out, unfortunately. I have a little different take on Iran. I worry about Iran. I think that they are a threat, but I don't think it's one that needs to be handled by any shape, form, or fashion by attacking them or, you know, through an act of war or a first strike. Any time that any government is ruled by a theocracy, by a totally dominant religious belief, then I believe that government is dangerous. When religion takes over and takes precedent above common sense, I think you have a problem. And we have the same exact thing with George Bush. He believes he's representing the Lord, or so he says. If he is, he's not representing any God that I know of.
Yes, exactly. Not the one I pray to either.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, the Christians are turning away from him in droves. The real Christians. There's still some, you know, hardcore evangelicals that support Bush, but, you know, it's going down lower every day. I mean, people are waking up and realizing that he is not what he said he was. He is an absolute hypocrite. And,
well,
you know, it's...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's how whatever you... You know, Iran, it is absolutely absurd to think... Now, do I believe that Iranians are developing nuclear weapons? It's possible. I can't say I'd blame them if they were. Would they use them against Israel? I think that even the thought of it is absurd. They know that if Israel gets nuked, that they're going to get turned into glass. Now, you don't shoot somebody if you've got three guns pointed at your head by a SWAT team. And you know they're going to blow your head off if you shoot someone. And that's exactly the position that Iran's in. So who cares if they, you know, North Korea has nuclear weapons now and we haven't attacked them. And in fact, Bush is taking them off of the so-called axis of evil. Because they've shut down their reactor, but they still have their weapons.
Yeah, this whole scenario is playing out, 2 weeks after the Bilderberg meeting in Virginia,
yep.
In Chantilly?
Sure is. Yeah,
you know,
because the instructions have come down, whatever they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And none of us know what those actual instructions are. I would love to have been a fly on the wall up there. As about probably quite a few million others would be, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I don't know, I believe, if we attack Iran, it has to be with a tacit approval of Russia and China. If we attack Iran, we're going to lose Taiwan, and Russia will do whatever they want with Georgia, and all we'll do is, you know, give a few meaningless condemnations or whatever in the UN Security Council or whatever. But there's just no way in the world, because Russia has already stated at one particular point in time, and I look up the exact statement because I wrote an article about it, that if we attack Iran, we attack Russia. Now, that has been stated very clearly. Now, that's, if you think about it, that's quite a profound statement. And that statement was made
Don't forget, this is radio.
Yep. Yeah, I do that sometimes, but I hate to say something without being able to substantiate it.
Well, let me insert something here while you're looking.
Okay.
You know, they keep saying Iran is developing nuclear weapons. We know they're mm-hmm. developing nuclear weapons. And the inspectors, you know, Scott Ritter has been seen on numerous YouTube videos and on a few television shows over the past months, even the past few years, saying that they're not anywhere near developing a nuclear weapon, number one. And they have the money, based on the amount of money they have from oil income, they could go to Russia and say, or China, or Pakistan, or India, and say, we have some money here, we want a couple of nukes. You know, they're gonna do the business behind the scenes anyway. In fact, you notice Russia is quick to go to their defense. So we don't know for certain, but these are the kind of things that go on. In fact, Israel has nuclear weapons. How did they get them? They got them from us.
Absolutely.
And when
absolutely.
We have when we have airplanes flying across the country mounted with armed nuclear bombs, like the Minot Air Force Base incident, to Barksdale Air Force Base, where when the plane got there, one of the weapons was missing. Guess what? Where do you think that weapon went? And why was it so many people were losing their jobs for following orders?
Why did so many people lose their lives from that base shortly thereafter through an unbelievable series of so-called accidents?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the exact number, but there were several people that died on leave from that base and that unit directly after it happened.
Oh, yeah, one of the guys that worked at the Barksdale base and his wife or girlfriend, I'm not clear on which it was, but they were killed in a motorcycle accident.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other types of accidents happening all of a sudden. So they get rid of these people so they can't talk. That's the main thing. it's just amazing what is going on. And of course, you know, they publish the story the way they want the spin to go, but as soon as you hear it, you know, all right, something's up. I mean, we're all waiting for something. What are they going to do? Okay, so you remember the Korean incident that took place
which one?
Last year when they fired the missiles, and they said they were duds. You know, they fired them in the direction of Japan.
Yep.
They paid Korea $55 million to pull that stunt. And shortly after that happened, George Bush was in North Korea. Now, that was, a lot of that was about money laundering, but I'm sure that that payment went down at that time. It was authorized in some manner. It
wasn't I don't have any doubt.
Wasn't an accident that happened. So they're, you know, they're rewarding the guy for playing ball. And the listeners that are hearing this for the first time are saying, wait a minute, you know, why didn't we hear this on the news? Well, you're not going to hear this on mainstream news. This is why we tell folks, don't believe what we say, do some research, and you'll see the evidence is out there. But the average
it's out
American,
there for anybody that wants it.
Yeah, the average American is listening to TV, watching TV shows, being entertained, and if they hear anything at all, you know, they put this flash up there, breaking news, and we're supposed to think that, oh, this is the official story now. This is really what's going on. And I can guarantee you it's not. And the truth will come out. You know, it may take a few days, but we'll find out.
Well, it did. And, you know, Ahmadinejad, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I'm not so hot with Iranian names. He was on I believe he was in Indonesia, and he said, there is going to be no war. He's firmly convinced that all of this is rhetoric, or that's the story that he's putting out. That there's no real intentions for the United States or Israel. I think they fear the Israelis more than they do us. I really do. And I don't know where he gets his sense of where he gets his beliefs from, unless he knows something that all of us don't. Because everything, every indicator is out there that there is going to be an attack on Iran, either before the election or, if it looks like it's going badly, even possibly after the election. But, you know, most of the pundits, and this is left and right, believe that it's going to happen before the election. Because George W. Bush has stated that he doesn't want to take a chance of any president going into office that will not take care of Iran. And by take care of, that means halting their nuclear program, even though it's perfectly legal. And even though our own NIE has shown they quit the nuclear weapons development, what, back in 2003?
And well, that's Dick Cheney, they were even developing nuclear weapons. I don't think they were. I think at that time their interest was in power. There is so much more to this than what we can even discuss on this show.
Well, absolutely. But even on our own NIE, though, it shows that they quit in 2003. And Cheney's office has decided just to absolutely ignore that, like it doesn't exist. We don't believe our own NIE. Now, why? What's the point?
Yeah, well,
I'm afraid I don't understand.
This is all about funneling money into the coffers of Halliburton and the Carlyle Group and the like. That's all it is. And, you know, they're trying to create this emergency scenario. And then while they're doing that, they're going to work on false flag events. You see, they have to have another false flag event here. Now, they know that we're watching all the possibilities. I mean, they can dream up one overnight and drop a bomb on any city in the United States. I don't put it past them to do that.
Oh, I don't either. I think that, you know, like when we were talking about the radioactive cat, if something like that happens, we know that the government was complicit and that they were knowledgeable because we have the technology to tell when and where nuclear materials enter this country, period. You know, if they can catch a cat going 70 miles an hour down the road that's had been treated with nuclear isotopes because he had leukemia, then they can darn sure find a nuclear weapon coming in. And that's through the ports or anything else. You just can't shield it that much. You know, it's just, it's not possible. So, you know, Homeland Security has the ability to ensure that none of these nuclear devices enter the United States. But with leaving the border porous like it is, which is done by design, you know, we're inviting, or what we're doing is we're giving ourselves an excuse to say, well, you know, it came in through one of these tunnels that we didn't know about or whatever the case may be, because we won't even secure our own border. So, you know, and to me, that is building an excuse before an event happens, because everybody's going to want to know how it happened. How mm-hmm. is it possible that this happened?
Yeah.
And they've already got their excuse. You know, it's preordained. There it is. Came through the Mexican border.
Yeah, there was an incident that occurred back in around maybe this time last year. Maybe it was a bit later than that. I had someone else and I were talking about the fact that we were picking up intuitively that there were going to be some false flag events. And I was asked for if I could come up with something specific. And I said, well, I'm sensing Seattle. And I specifically said the port of Seattle. Then I said, I'm feeling something's going to go on in Portland, too. Well, would you know that they had, there were actually events that occurred in both places. Portland turned out to be a false flag event earlier this year, not too long ago. They were in Portland running so-called nuclear drills in Portland. And these are the type of events that they did in New York City, in fact, on the day of 9/11. At the very time these attacks went on, they had the military doing exercises.
Yeah, Absolutely.
To prevent an attack.
To prevent an attack, absolutely. And,
okay.
I mean, that's just, it's absolutely, utterly amazing that, I mean, 9/11 is, I'm no 9/11 expert, but I've read enough and I have enough of my own questions about 9/11 that you don't have to be a 9/11 truther to have some honest questions that we just can't seem to get answers for.
Yes. Well, regarding these two events, now let me tell you this. This is quite interesting. No one faults my intuition. In fact, it's been very accurate. So I brought up these two events, and I said the Seattle event is going to occur first, which it did. A couple of weeks after I had made this statement, I was online, and I had the feeling something had happened. So I did some browsing, and I came across, quite accidentally, I came across an article referring to a container that had arrived at the port of Seattle from China. And the bomb-sniffing dogs went ballistic, no pun intended. They went absolutely nuts. And I was asked, what do you think it was? And I said, three suitcase nukes is what I pick up. I'm just going to tell you, three suitcase nukes, and they were hidden in these couple of containers. The containers were filled with oily rags. Now, and coming in, since when are our dry cleaning facilities better than those in China, that they wouldn't clean those rags? I mean, use a little bit of logic. Now, I found this on MSNBC.com and CNN.com, and then nothing on the mainstream media, but it hit the internet. The next day,
we're buying oily rags from China.
Oh, who knows? Maybe they just sent them here to be dry cleaned. That's the point I'm making.
No,
why,
that's funny.
Why would they? Well, they use the oily rags to try to mask the scent of the nuclear weapons. That's obvious. And if it's in a suitcase, it's going to be detectable by these dogs. So. To make a long story short, the next day, there's a retraction on the story that the dogs barked to a false alarm. All it was oily rags in these containers. Well, we don't even know if it was oily rags, but the fact that they were shipping oily rags to the United States shows that even the cover story is a lie. You see? Now, months went by, and then we had these drills going on in Portland. And the friend I had been talking to about this said, man, you were right. You were right on both counts. The Seattle event did occur in the Puget Sound at the port. And then they had these exercises, and everybody in Oregon was concerned that they were going to have a false flag event. Of course, they've been doing this in Texas City too. And they
yeah.
killed a CIA agent. The Houston police shot this guy. This is very recent that this occurred.
Yeah, now they're claiming that he wasn't really a CIA agent. I read that, I believe, yesterday.
Well,
now
did he work for the public library or what?
I don't know, but they said that he was he wasn't really a CIA agent, supposedly. So it's, you know, something is going on. If you look at things logically, and maybe I'm too analytical, I would think that Oregon, very possibly, Seattle, you know, if we're going to nuke one of the cities, you can believe it won't be right close to where Microsoft is. You've got one of the most powerful people in the world, or one of the most powerful corporations in the world right there that essentially runs the world's computers, and they spy on all of us. So, you know, I don't think we're going to destroy that facility.
Well, I'm not saying necessarily that, that what I was seeing or feeling was yeah. predicting an attack. But it is an, not interesting that bomb-sniffing dogs went crazy at the port at the time I said, or around the time I said it was going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, that people, some people can feel things and can sense things. I've been doing it with earthquakes for I don't know how long. And it's just, we all have that sense, and most people never learn how to use it.
Yeah. Now let me point out something here, because there is also a pattern to what they're doing. And most people don't see it. I have talked about this, and it bears repeating even now. And that's their compulsion. I say their, meaning the Illuminati, the shadow government, all of those that are behind these acts, these treasonous acts. You have New York. New York was attacked three times. Okay, the first two were these bombings when Clinton was in office that they had at the World Trade Center in the garage. Okay, and they were just measuring reaction. It was probably the precursor to weakening the buildings. I don't know all the specifics about that, although they had their patsy. They had somebody that they arrested and tried, and they probably put them in a witness protection program or sent them overseas somewhere. Nobody follows up on that stuff. Then we had Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. All right? Let me repeat. New York, Oklahoma, or New York City, New York, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And then we had the warnings coming from Captain Eric May and his ghost troopers about Texas City, Texas, in the
Rather
Houston area.
Rather interesting, isn't it?
Okay, now, guess what? Near Seattle, there's a Washington City, Washington. And near Portland, there is an Oregon City, Oregon. In fact, most states have such a name. Now, I predicted some other events after the Texas City alarm that was sounded in January of 2007. I predicted at the same time something was going to happen in Florida City, Florida. And guess what? They found an 8-inch hole drilled into the reactor pipe at the Turkey Point nuclear power plant.
Missed that one. When did that happen?
That happened in fact, I gave a date on that, too. March 30th of 2007. I predicted the date. You know how I predicted the date? On the release of the Osama bin Laden al-Zawahiri tapes. And I predicted March 3rd there was going to be another event at a nuclear power plant. It so happened, now I didn't find this out until the beginning of April. I found out on April 2nd of 2007 that also the Port St. Lucie nuclear power plant had an event. Someone stole an $11,000 sight and a high-powered rifle from the security office at the nuclear power plant. These plants are guarded by Wackenhut security. Okay? Wackenhut is an Israeli company. What business do we have Israel doing in this country? Well, look at the media, and there's your answer. Look at Hollywood, there's your answer. Now look at what's going on, all the corruption going on in the Pentagon, there's your answer. Israel has everything to do with all of these false flag events.
Israel, in fact, has everything to do with everything right now that's going on. AIPAC, and I mean, we're essentially doing Israel's bidding right now, rather than worrying about ourselves. You know, all of this, some of the things Ahmadinejad has said has been taken out of context.
Mm-hmm.
He did not threaten to wipe Israel off the map.
No, he never said that. He never, ever said that.
No, he never, ever said that. There were, some of it was lost in translation, and, you know, it's, people have been prophesizing that the United States is going to, you know, get wiped out or whatever, you know, in the coming years. But it's not up on national TV, and, you know, we're not attacking people for doing it. And, you know, Israel is just scared to death, and they're paranoid that the Iranians are going to develop a nuclear weapon that they know, and we know, that can't be used against them. I mean, it just doesn't make common sense that the country of Iran is going to commit suicide by nuking Israel. Unless, of course, they're attacked first.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's another story. But as far as Iran, now, you have to understand something, though. There is a problem with Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and a lot of other Arab nations that are extremely worried about Iran's military escalation and them becoming more of a power in what has predominantly been an Arab land. For instance, in Lebanon, where Hezbollah is basically running the show now, the Arabs don't like that. And, you know, the meetings that our president had, supposedly asking them to pump more oil, where they've rebuffed him, and Cheney's been over there, they've been meeting with other Arab leaders. This deal against Iran goes far, far deeper than just Israel. You've got a lot of Arab nations that, are saying one thing publicly, but behind the scenes, they're very much against Iran. And you know, we're looking at centuries and centuries old hostilities here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something very unique about the Middle East. You know, we had our problems with England. We declared our independence. We got in a war. We won, blah, 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 blah. And now they're our ally. Over there, people never forget. You know, things that happened 2,000 years ago are still a matter of contention today. And it's a different, for anybody that's looking at it objectively, it's a clash of civilizations, is what I term it to be. You've got one side of the arena that are living in the past, with past hatreds and prejudices that, predate the Bible, and they won't let them go. And then you've got the other half of the world that's moved forward to what I call the civilized world. And, you know, and I was accused of, being anti, Arab because, I basically said that they were guilty of barbaric behavior, and what I was speaking of was honor killings, where a father had killed his daughter because she had dated an English soldier, and he spat upon her body, beheading people. I'm sorry, I consider that to be barbaric. But I was criticized because I said it, you know, how dare I call them barbarians? Well, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know, and now here in Georgia, we've got I believe, and I haven't read the full story yet, we've had an honor killing here in the United States. In our own country.
Yep.
Now that's pretty sad. Or in my opinion, it is. You know, I mean, everybody has an opinion, but, you know, the Iranian situation is being driven by Saudi Arabia. It's being driven by Jordan, Israel, Egypt, It's not just Israel and the United States, and you do not hear that on the mainstream news media, and they're all part of it.
Well, yeah, you know, the other thing you're not hearing is that they're being provoked intentionally, probably being paid to do this, you see.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's not that these people have nothing better to do than consider being at war with us. You murder enough people, and yes, you are going to make some people angry. That'll happen here as well as anywhere else. Right now, they're singling out key individuals. They're going around the country, taking out talk show hosts and journalists and people in the banking industry and certain individuals in the military that are saying they're not going to kill Americans. You know,
yeah.
or the ones that are reporting all this corruption that's going on, the whistleblowers. They're singling out those people as if to say, look, you know, we can do this. We can take them out one at a time if we have to. Well, you know, we ought to get rid of all of them in one fell swoop. And they're going to push it to the point where people are actually going to take a stand. You know, it may be too late. You're going to have a lot of chaos, but is it going to be any more chaos than what there is right now?
Is that possible?
Well,
you know,
yeah,
I mean, you have to ask. I mean, how much further can we actually go? How much further down the rabbit hole can Americans go before enough is enough? I mean, is it going to be what's it going to be? $8 a gallon? $10 a gallon? How many seniors are going to die before Americans wake up, shake their head, and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? What are we going to do about this? And I think the biggest thing that I'm doing and I'm trying to figure out is you have bloggers and journalists everywhere. You can go to Raw Story, Buzz/Op-Ed News, and those are probably three of the best independent alternative news sites out there where you can find the truth, but you've got everybody writing about what's happening, but we don't have any solutions.
Yeah,
not a one.
I made a suggestion on the show last night with Ken Adachi. You know, he brought up the issue of the oil prices, and I said, you know what, if people just stopped buying gasoline, okay, they say, well, now I have to go to work, I have to do this. You know, you have to take a stand. If you want to look at what it is, if you're not giving them your money, they're not getting any money. Okay? If you strike, you know, it takes a bit of courage. Some people are not in a position to do that. Well, you know, I have to get my kids to the karate class and soccer practice and their dance lessons and their voice lessons and you know, I have to take them to the movies, or they have to go to the mall. I have to have gasoline. You've got to reorder your priorities. If it's, okay, I'm just going to go to work. We're not going on a vacation. We're not going to spend money, senselessly without any consideration for tomorrow. If you stop and think, I'm not going to give them my money, That changes things real fast. Now, oil prices.
You know, we could do it in a week if everybody quit buying everything except the essentials. The essential foods you need, no entertainment, stay at home, you know, do whatever, play with your kids, whatever it may be, but don't buy anything except the bare essentials. The reaction would be unbelievable, because you're talking about an economic loss that, you know, is probably in the billions of dollars if people would just join together in solidarity and quit buying for a while. We've already driven last month and the month before, Americans as a whole drove over 1 billion miles less the previous year. Over 1 billion miles less we drove, yet oil gas prices still keep going up. We're actually using less oil than we've ever used in years and years. It's actually going down, but oil prices are still going up. Now, that does not meet the supply and demand baloney that they're trying to pass off on us.
Not to mention that the wells are capped. You know, we can underscore that.
All over the place.
Yes. And
you know?
It's all over the world that way. Plus, you know, this came out at the end of last year, or the first part of January this year. There was an email posted by a dock worker that works outside of New Orleans, and he said that there are thousands of barges parked out at sea a little bit in the Gulf of Mexico. Oil barges filled to the brim. And their reason for not bringing this oil in is to avoid, number one, paying any taxes on it, and then they can keep playing this game, manipulating the prices. So, you know, the oil goes up today, and within a couple of days, gasoline prices have risen to reflect the prices now, but they're still on the old prices. They're still using the stock from the old prices. You see, there's no legitimacy to this at all. It's, you know, this argument of, well, the price is going up because of this and that. No, they're just giving us reasons. It's BS is all it is.
Okay. By the way, just for giggles here, I found what I was looking for. On October the 26th of 2007, mm-hmm. the Asia Times reported, the headline was "Attack Iran and You Attack Russia." And there's a story, it's on my site, under an article, it says Asia Times, full colon, "Attack Iran and You Attack Russia. Is Washington listening?" And, Vladimir Putin went to Iran and, sat down with him, and they essentially agreed that if we attacked Iran, that we attacked Russia.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay. Bill, we're out of time. Right now,
okay.
We're going to have to close the show here because we do have another show coming up. So I want to thank you. I'll have you on again. This was getting interesting.
well, I hope so. I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm a little rattled that somebody would try to break into my home while we're all inside of it. I had the police out here today, and their comment was, well, it looks like someone got locked out of the house, and they just tried to get in through the back door. And they shrugged it off. And that didn't happen.
Call the sheriff.
yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's some very odd things going on around here. And, you know, what it all means, I don't know.
Okay.
But I'm not going to shut up.
We
got to
sign off. We got to sign off
right.
Now. So thank you, Bill Cormier. Your website, justanothercoverup.com. I recommend that to all the listeners. I'm Don Nikoloff. You have been listening to the TNT Hour. Be sure to tune in for this show next Monday when it's hosted by Don Newsom. And special thanks to Don for running the sound and making this show possible. You all have a good day, and I'll see you tonight on Evident Footprints, 10 p.m. Pacific. Have a good day.
$1,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone. and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.